Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast, this week covering Vixen.
The movie.
Which... Now, we've had, I believe you said that Connor, who's been on this show before, says this isn't a movie.
Well, I don't think it is really either. Like, I understand what your counter-argument, but I always knew it as the little episodes that came out as part of the CW.
Yeah, so it is actually a... Yes, originally this was a web series on CW's The Seed, which is their online platform. Mm. And, yeah, I'll be perfect. Also, I was a bit unsure, and then I checked. So, you can actually buy the DVD, Vixen the Movie. That's actually what I watched it on. So, it is actually classed as a movie. Until you actually watch it, and it is a pile of 4 to 7 minute episodes.
Yeah, and clearly meant to be that way.
Yeah. And so this is one of two series that is set in the Arrowverse. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's 12 episodes of two series of television mashed together into one single film.
Yeah. So it's a bit all over the place, like, pacing-wise.
Yeah, the pacing is really quite bizarre. Including the very start of the film is Vixen being chased by Flash and the Arrow. Mm-hmm. And somehow the Arrow, who is a human being, is able to keep up with both Flash and Vixen, and somehow Vixen is able to keep ahead of the Flash, which they never quite explain the level of powers.
Maybe she was channeling. Maybe she was like, yeah, well, even if she had a cheetah, she wouldn't be that fast.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. That's a problem with the CW in general. The Flash seems to be able to go at like Mach 1 and Mach 2, and simultaneously slow enough to get punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre. And it then finishes with the woman falling off the side of the building. We still haven't, by this point, we haven't had a name, we haven't had any explanation as to who or what she is. We then cut to 3 days earlier, when the main character, Mari McCabe, is being given bail because she was arrested for stabbing someone with a pen.
Which is awesome.
And it's her stepfather that posts... Well, not a stepfather, an adopted father who posts bail.
Yeah.
We're in Detroit. And... yeah, it's established very on. Yes, no, she's adopted, because that is the... I'm imagining that was meant to be the arc of the first season, except it's covered in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not really an arc, where she is distant from her adopted father. We're in Detroit, and Mari has a very special necklace that she received from her mother, which she used before, until the two of them are attacked by thugs and she starts fighting like an animal.
Yeah. Like an animal.
Yes.
Very telling.
Because Vixen's powers is that she can harness the spirit energy from animals so that she can become as strong as an elephant or as fast as a cheetah, or she can fly like an eagle, or she can swim like a dolphin.
Yeah, she can. She takes on their characteristics. I mean, it's a cool character. It's a characteristic. It's not a particularly unique one. I think there's other characters that
do it.
Well,
Beast Boy, for example.
But he literally transforms into the animal. But not just him. I think there's also is there Beastmaster? Is a DC one?
Beastmaster is a character. I don't know. That's I've heard Beastmaster the character.
He was in a Midnighter comic, so I don't know very much about him. But I think that you know, there's ones in. It's a traditional kind of power take on. I'm sure Marvel has a few of them as well.
I mean, even to a lesser extent, I know that that's meant to be the beast form of the character in Split. Is meant to be an amalgamation of animals. Mari decides, after suddenly realizing that this necklace that she's been wearing for at least 15 years at this point and has done nothing, suddenly started to do something. She decides to research it.
Yeah.
And she visits a Dr. McAllister, who is your typical CW ally in terms of he gives a lot of expositional dialogue, and depending on what mood the writers are in at that exact moment, he's either your friend or your enemy.
Yeah.
And he explains that it is a totem of Anansi, who is a trickster god, and it originates from a country called Sambezi, which I'm assuming is fictional.
The Zambezi River goes through part of Africa, so I assume it's from taken from that.
Mm-hmm. And the myth around it is that it gives them the power of any animal they summon. The second that she leaves, McAllister phones a woman who is the woman who hired the thugs that attacked Mari the previous night.
Yeah.
And
very excitingly, there's a connection.
Yes. Oh, no, the second that there's a connection, you're like, okay. It's going to be like, we're related, or, in this case, literally. So Mari then explains to her stepfather, and I need to say adopted. Her father. We'll just call her a father for simplicity.
Yeah, it's easier.
Yeah. So she explains to her father that the necklace is magical, demonstrates the abilities, goes to try and fly, and then thinks better of it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we cut to Central City, where Cisco is being a creep.
Always.
And...
oh, she's a fox, because she's foxy!
Yeah, it's a shame that... in theory, this could be the first exposure you have to this character.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because he's actually sometimes semi-interesting. So Flash decides to go investigate. However, he's going to bring backup, because this is an unusual situation, because it's a metahuman emerging outside of Central City. I can't remember. It's been, 6 months since I watched an Arrowverse show.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what any of their cities are called. Like, it means nothing to me. It's been years. That's not true. I mean, I've been watching Superman and Lois, but there's so little connection that it doesn't feel quite the same.
Yeah, which is one of... also, I think it's... on the week that we're recording this is the week that two of the remaining CW shows in the Arrowverse have been cancelled. Because Batwoman and Legends of Tomorrow has been cancelled. So it's now Superman and Lois, which has barely anything to do with the Arrowverse, and The Flash, which...
and Stargirl, presumably?
I don't know. Stargirl, I think's up in the air, I believe. Right. It's not confirmed either way. But The Flash, which many people seem to... well, it's the only show whose CGI has regressed backwards in 9 years. And also, just a reminder for those keeping track, The Flash was in season one when Ezra Miller was cast. I'm convinced that movie's never coming out.
I think it totally is, but it's going to be a tragedy.
Going to come out on HBO for like $2 to try and get some money out of it. The only film that somehow is in a worse position than Morbius.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we then get the exact same chase scene that we got before, but with additional bits for some reason, because we now also half of the chase seems to be Oliver Queen pulling a "what's going on here" face.
Yeah. A lot. There's a lot of face pulling.
Yeah. And after catching up with Mari, also at this point she does manage to fly.
Yes, which is cool. I mean, that's the thing you'd want to try if you had power.
Uh-huh. So Arrow and Flash then go, "Yes, we know that we just showed up to your door in costume, but we actually want to help you." And instead of going, "Well, since you are the two most established superheroes, maybe that would be a good idea."
Yeah.
Instead, her reaction is to threaten them. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting tactic.
Absolutely. So instead, we're going to go and visit the same doctor that told us things before.
Because there's only one doctor.
There's only one expert in African mythology in the whole city. And when she does, the woman from earlier is there. With two henchmen.
Always henchmen,
and goes, "Yeah, I'll have the necklace now. That should be mine." And Mary's like, "Okay, fine, whatever." Goes to take the neck, you know.
Yeah.
Because this is the hero, and she can't take it off because the necklace has decided, "No, I like this one. I'm staying here." And we get a fight scene. Mari runs off, but she gets tagged by a gunshot and falls unconscious. And she wakes up in Africa.
Which is, yeah, a little bit random, but you know.
So she's been unconscious for at least a day.
Yeah.
And the woman informs Mari that her name is you never actually hear her name until the final battle. The character's name is Kwasa, and she is Mari's older sister, and she claims that she was chosen to be the bearer of this totem.
Yes.
When she was four. And that what then happened was a warlord attacked the village, and Kwasa and Mari's mother ran off with the necklace and a baby.
Ran off with the necklace and a baby.
To be fair, her baby, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should specify that it wasn't just a random baby.
Yeah. So it says that since you're bonded to the necklace, the only way that we can take this necklace off you is to get you bitten by a spider,
which sounds really dubious.
Yeah. Because the argument is, the true form of this god is a spider, so if this spider bites you, Though apparently this spider is not deadly, though it will knock you out. Mari does run off, but she gets knocked out by the spider's venom.
As you do.
And as she passes out, Mari's sister gets the totem.
Mm-hmm.
She then has a Black Panther sequence.
Very Black Panther, but, you know, before we saw Black Panther.
Fair, I think this came out before Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
But she wakes up in the spirit realm with the spirits of many animals saying that Kwasa isn't meant to have the totem, and that they will help her to get the totem back. We then cut to the sister having to Kwasa having some sort of ritual, because she has a cult.
Of course she does. I guess she's like, she's very into having the totem, so.
Yeah. So, the two sisters fight, and the spider bites Kwasa, and Mari knocks her sister out and takes the necklace.
Yep.
She then goes back to Detroit, claims that Detroit is now her village and she's got to defend it. Yeah, there's
which
constant.
Is fine. I mean, she's definitely in the mode of like, I'm gonna be a superhero.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to be fair, it's
yeah.
You would.
Well, I might not, but yeah.
If you had the ability to fight criminals, you... Well,
no, I mean, like, you know, I'd just go off and, like, fly around and...
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just saying, I genuinely don't know if I would, but, yeah.
So, Vixen gets visited by Arrow in the Flash again.
Mm-hmm.
She says, can you just let me get on with it, please? Because she's taken out a mugger. And... The Flash, she goes, I do need a name though. And the Flash said, well, someone's been calling you Vixen.
Ooh.
And that's how she gets her name.
And she goes, I'd really like rather not know who.
Yeah.
Is it that creepy guy?
Well, to be fair, she's never met that creepy guy.
And so. he does name everyone in Flash, doesn't he? So.
Yeah, that's the thing. We then get a... So that's 20 minutes into the film, and I think that is the first season.
Oh, right, so this is the two seasons.
Together. Yes, it is the two seasons of... That's the other thing, yeah, okay. It's two seasons.
So there is
of...
no more of this, good, because it's not that great.
No, it's not. I actually think this is the first season, because I remember watching this.
I remember watching the first episode and then trying to remember to watch the rest and just going, I can't love it.
Yeah. So, we then suddenly... Now, I'm not quite sure if this is an insert to explain the year's jump.
Uh-huh.
Or if this was actually part of the second season.
I have no idea.
Because Vixen then attacks a mugger and is randomly, suddenly starting to talk and be really awkward. Having had no indication that they were awkward before, so I don't know if that is a...
Mm-hmm.
We've had a year to write a script, and we're going to change the character now. She also decides to try and visit Dr. McAllister again. And he's on an expedition in Africa. Oh no, this is the second season, because this then makes sense, I think. So... A couple is then walking home and gets threatened by thugs. Mari then interferes again, but she hurts her shoulder this time. And she's saying, suddenly the animals aren't listening to me. I mean, there's no way that we'll actually be able to see this in the depiction, but now suddenly she's not as effective anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she's trying to fit... That said, I can see the explanation of... When you see her use her powers beforehand, she's kind of running on adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah.
And now she's actually trying to think about it. So, Fowler then mentions another doctor who's an animal behaviourist.
Which is pretty good advice, actually.
It is actually pretty good advice. Yeah. And it somehow results in Mari getting a job at the zoo. Yeah. Or an animal shelter.
Yeah. But she has to go through a test to see whether the gorillas?
Whether the gorillas like her, yeah.
Yeah, will accept her.
Okay, none of this is actually mentioned in the description of the two seasons, so this might just exist purely in the film. She ends up working with a gorilla named Caesar.
Yeah, which is funny. I assume the Planet of the Apes films were out by then, the new ones.
The newer ones had started to come out by that point, yeah.
But Caesar was in Planet of the Apes anyway, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I watched the old films growing up, so I only really know it for the new ones. So.
I've only watched the circus ones.
Well, that makes sense, because as we know, you would like to say you're young. But yeah, no, I think Caesar was in them anyway. It's just that the new ones make it a little bit more clear what part he played.
Yeah.
So, but that surely has to be a reference to Planet of the Apes.
I think they even mention it in the actual scene.
Oh, I missed that. So.
They actually specifically go, that's a bit on the nose. What, they're going to take over the world? Really? So, we get an explanation of Caesar. Mari uses a pants near Caesar, scares him a bit, so she then gets him a drawing. She then walks in to find smugglers roughing up Dr. Vargas's office. It turns out that some of the animals were not brought into the country legally.
Oh, oops. Yeah, that was such a dodgy admission. Like, why would that be? Even if you want to save them, there are ways and means. I don't know, that was a little bit, that annoyed me.
It's basically one of, I did a bad thing, but it's for the right reasons, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
No, you smuggled.
It's like the reason that there's checks is because of illnesses and...
Yeah, exactly. So, Vixen decides to help Dr. Vargas, and she fights the smugglers, and whilst this happens, she teams up with Caesar, and the smuggling operation is stopped. And the only interesting thing I can think of in this particular segment is I recognise the voice actor who plays the lead smuggler, and I find it cool because it's the same guy who voices Garrus in Mass Effect, so it's nice to see him get work.
I'm sure he has quite a lot of work. That's a,
Yeah, he shows up in a few things, but he's probably most well known for Garrus.
Imagine being most well known for that.
I mean, to be fair, it's a big video game series. Yeah. So we then cut to 1 year later, and we're now into season two. And after defeating a bank robber, Vixen sees that Dr. McAllister is back.
Mm-hmm.
She then attends a talk he has, where it turns out, oh, this totem that was the only totem, and it's a really special totem, is one of five.
Yeah, right.
So the five are air, earth, water, fire, and spirit.
Yep.
And the
great Avatar.
Yeah, and the spirit totem. Oh, they've announced the names of all four films that are coming out.
Oh, I didn't mean that Avatar. I meant Legend of the. Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
Avatar, the one that was called Avatar. Yeah, the cartoon.
So
Dr. McAllister has found the fire totem, and like any treasure that belongs in Africa and is of African nature, it is permanently being kept in a colonized country. In this case, America. I suppose if they set this in the UK, it would have been two on the nose.
Well, I mean, I think this is the same difference, really.
Same difference. So, Vixen then confronts Dr. McAllister, who is suddenly a good guy.
Of course.
For reasons. And a romantic interest, for reasons. He's the only man that's been in this program more than once who isn't an adopted father figure.
Yeah.
Dr. Vargas and Chuck, the adoptive father, are dating now for reasons.
Because again,
it's a CW show. If everyone's not paired up with someone, something's wrong. Literally, that's how they introduce five or six major characters in the CW first.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Mari gets a call from Cisco saying, hey, can you help fight Weller Wizard with Flash and Firestorm? Mm-hmm. Which doesn't go well for Vixen, and she ends up knocked out. Also, because I do think in the interim, Vixen does appear in the live action Arrowverse in one episode.
She?
Yeah, she shows up during series 4 of Arrow.
I probably watched it about that far and then gave up.
Well,
I think 4 or 5.
Season 4, if you were going to give up, season 4 is the season you'd give up at. Season 5 is actually semi decent. Season 4 is bad.
Sense. Yeah, but then wouldn't you go back for season 5?
No, because season 4 is really bad.
Okay.
It's really bad. The last episode is terrible. It's the first time I've fallen asleep watching an episode of Arrow. It's the last episode. I mean, they managed to make Neil McDonoghue seem uncharismatic.
Oh, I did watch that season. Yeah, it was bad.
And literally the first half of that season is setting up Legends Tomorrow.
Which one had Ragman in?
I think that might have been season 5, actually.
Okay, so that's where I stopped. I watched for Ragman and it was so bad I just stopped.
Okay. Isn't Ragman, like, he shows up for one episode and, like, 5 episodes in, he's disappeared?
No, he stays in. It might be Flash he's in.
I don't know.
He might be in Flash. I don't know.
I'm sure that he becomes part of, like, Team Arrow.
I couldn't remember which one he was in, but, like, everyone was like, oh, you should watch it, Ragman's really good. And I thought he was really bad, so...
Yeah. It just seems to be... Particularly when you've got the HBO series that are spending serious money.
Yeah, yeah.
It does just kind of... I don't know. I really love Arrow, the first two series, and I love the first series of The Flash.
Mm-hmm. I love the first few series of The Flash, to be honest.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time for a lot of the CW shows, but they just...
They're welcome.
Yeah, it was just too much TV to watch at the same time of the same thing. But I like all the crossovers and stuff.
Well, I think because it's something like 700 episodes of television.
It's really a lot, so.
It's more episodes than Rise of the Robots covers.
Well, yeah, but maybe, I'm surprised, yeah.
So, just be thankful. I think there is podcasts that have tried to keep up with it.
I'm sure there's podcasts that have. Like, I think I've got friends who do podcasts that cover a lot of them. It's just, we both work. It's like, we have other things to do, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So, whilst this is happening, a thief who, when he's unmasked, looks very much like Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor Strange, the DC character, not Stephen, who's in the movie coming out next week.
Alright, so Hugo Strange.
Hugo Strange. So Dr. Hugo Strange, my son.
Well, I didn't know he was a doctor as well, but that's fine.
So the thief successfully steals the gem.
Of course, because otherwise there'd be no plot.
Along with a bunch of other gems. He then goes to speak to an enormous man, Bonatu Eshu. The seconds that Eshu puts on the gem,
mm-hmm.
the thief decides it's a good idea to punch him.
As you do, yeah.
And he gets burned alive.
Yeah, okay.
We then follow the typical CW verse model of we have our first fight and the bad guy wins and or gets away.
Wow.
So we then have to do the other thing that happens in every CW verse show, which is the first season villain becomes an ally.
Well, that happens in way too many superhero comics as well, so
yes.
Can't fully blame the CW for that, but yes, this happens again.
So Vixen and Dr. McAllister go to Africa, which is apparently not a big deal.
Yeah, it's just that we'll just pop over to Africa.
We'll just pop over to another continent.
Yeah.
We will then recruit the Kuasa to help get the water totem.
Yeah, they start collecting totems.
It turns out that Eshu is the warlord that attacked the village. Mm-hmm. And it also at
Which
this
is
point,
convenient, really.
After last time, where it was kind of implied that that Mari and Kwasa's mother stole the totem, it turned out, no, she was wearing it, she was the rightful holder of it, and then she tried to fight Eshu and lost. This was before Eshu had the fire totem as well, so this implies he's very powerful without it.
Yeah, I know, it's really good again.
And also that Kwasa knows where the water totem is.
Which, again, convenient.
She's made no effort to find it before finding
the
spirit totem.
And, like, to the point where she kidnapped her sister to get the other one. But no, she's a bit, you know.
Yeah. So it's a house in Star City, which is
convenient.
Yes, and also I'm surprised that we didn't have the arrow shop again to go, what are you doing in my city? Go
yeah.
away. Though to be fair, that might be because Felicity's helping them.
Yeah, it's always weird seeing her in it.
So when we actually get into the house and get to the water totem, the sister betrays her.
Dun,
how
dun,
shocking.
Dun. Never happened before.
Never happened before. So they, so the sisters fight again until the police arrive. And Kwasa is getting away in a chase sequence when the Atom and Black Canary show up.
But I like them. That's kind of fun. I enjoy seeing them. I feel I'm very biased. If I like them, I'm just like, okay, yeah, why not?
I mean, just, to be fair, who doesn't like Brandon Roth?
Yeah, I know. Love, bless him. I love him.
So they still recruit Kwasa, and Eshu is on the rampage in Detroit. So somehow, our party of four, three of whom do not have a super-powered Iron Man suit, are able to get from Star City to Detroit in seconds?
Yeah, pretty much.
And Are we trying to imply that Starling City is Detroit?
I don't remember which match is on to where for DC.
Yeah. I don't think DC knows what match is on DC.
That's fair.
So, whilst this happens, Dr. McAllister calls Mari and says, "Oh, there is some books on this. Apparently you can destroy one of the totems by crushing it."
Useful.
By crushing its spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which you just go, okay, so stamp on it. Okay, that's... So... Also, apparently the fire totem does not bond to its host.
Yeah, why? Why is that? That makes no sense.
Yeah. So... The heroes and Eshu fight. Kuasa gets into a direct fight and loses. And is destroyed, as is the totem. So Mari's suddenly very sad that the woman that kidnapped her is dead.
I mean, it's still her sister.
Yeah.
Like, I do kind of get that. Like, people have all kinds of sort of ties to family, whether they get on or not, etc., etc. Yeah. So I kind of get that.
So, Dr. McAllister then arrives and says, "No, no, it's literal. You literally need to crush the totem."
Yeah. And oh, I was like, "Oh, well, it would have been good to know that."
So Vixen manages to. Also, apparently, being blasted by fire can crush a totem as well, it seems.
Okay. So I mean, Vixen, that kind of makes sense.
So Vixen, well, the water totem disappears.
Yeah.
So Vixen then rips the totem off. And she has to summon the spirits of an entire stampede.
Yeah, as you do.
To smash it. And defeats Eshu. And we finish with Mari McAllister and Mari's father at a party.
Mm-hmm.
McAllister's making the moves.
Yeah.
And she then gets a call to join Oliver Queen, Flash, Black Canary, and Atom in Coast City to fight a villain.
Woohoo! Actual villains.
And that's the end.
Become part of the team.
That's the end of Vixen, which is very disjointed.
It's incredibly disjointed. Let's face it.
Because we've had a few other films that were three or four episodes of a TV show bolted together.
Yeah.
And were released as movies. But those, at least, generally, it mm-hmm. was one solid story.
Yeah, yeah.
This was very broken up. But, I mean, it's... It exists.
It's not awful. I mean, it's just really basic.
Yeah, it's very much a we're having to do things in 7-minute chunks.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's a decent enough story. It's 72 minutes.
It definitely works better in chunks.
Oh, I can imagine. It also does make me a bit concerned because they do the same thing with another character who is it's Freedom Fighters the Ray.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I watched any of that.
Which is, I mean, Russell Tovey's playing.
I like him a lot, so, but
which is good. So I believe that this is the so this is set in, well, that film is set in the universe of Crisis on Earth X, where the all your familiar characters are Nazis.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's the alternative universe where the Nazis won. Because that's never been done before. So that's not too far away, actually. That's only 4 or 5 episodes away. Before that, however, we have Lego Superhero Girls, again, with Intergalactic Games.
Mm-hmm.
With Batman and Harley Quinn. We have Lego DC Superhero Girls, which is separate from DC Superhero Girls. We then have Adam West Batman back again.
Yay.
With Batman vs. Two-Face, which is the last time Adam West will ever play Batman.
Sad.
And we finish our kind of collection of five with Scooby-Doo and Batman the Brave and the Bold.
I can't wait.
So, are you appearing in any podcasts in the near future?
I mean, let me think. The Into the Night Moonlight podcast. Another week of Moonlight, so.
Yep. Well, by the time this comes out, it will have...
Will have finished, so yeah.
Finished.
But we've got some comics coming out for it, so I'll be doing those as well.
Yep. And you also appear in another podcast in the near future, which is...
Yeah, I did a bad job on that one, so...
To be fair, you were unwell and it was late
really
at night.
I was really ill. If you want to hear what I sound like, really unwell and late at night, then the Rise of the Robots podcast.
Yep, which we are... We have now... So this week I've recorded... I've recorded three separate podcasts because we actually recorded both the final two episodes of Robot Wars Extreme. If you want to hear what I sound like with an absolute stinking cold, you can listen to the last episode where, yeah, I had to mute my mic about 7 or 8 times through the episode.
Oh, poor you.
And, yeah. So, yeah, that's everything that's coming up. And thank you very much for joining us and listening to the DCAU podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Yep, take care.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch. At dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.